So I'm Matthias Shapiro. I'm the lead dev for Shop Savvy for Windows Mobile or Windows Phone 7. Shop Savvy is a great little application. Been around in Android and iPhone for a couple of years, and the user can take a phone and take a picture of a barcode, almost any barcode, and then they can get the prices online and even locally. So it's great for comparison shopping. If you've got something and you're wondering, well, is Best Buy really the best place to get this, or can I go across the street to Target? Just take a picture and it'll tell you, oh, by the way, over at Target, it's 50 cents less.
That's great. So before we get into the app, and which I'm going to dive with you because I know you're technical, tell us about your background, your technical background.
My background is I've been doing Microsoft technologies for about 5 years. I started out with WPF. And then moved very smoothly from WPF to Silverlight. I did Silverlight for a couple of years, and then I moved into Windows Phone, which was a very bizarre move because it felt like not moving at all. I had done Silverlight for a couple of years, and it was just doing Silverlight but running it on a phone. Exact same process, exact same everything.
So your learning curve was obviously a lot.
Oh, yeah, it was way low.
So I understand you also code for iPhone as well. You understand that environment well.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have you built any popular iPhone applications, or you just wanted to learn the platform because you had to assist in the migration efforts?
I just wanted to learn the platform. I haven't built anything. Shop Savvy has a full-time iPhone developer, someone who does amazing work, but just kind of sits there and works on the iPhone version.
So talk a little bit about big in Japan. Are they just in the iPhone business, just the Android business, or they want to write for all platforms?
Big in Japan started out, Shop Savvy is the main product for Big in Japan, and that started out as a contest entrant when Android was first starting up. And they ended up winning one of Google's contests and got a good chunk of cash from that, and then used that to continue building for the iPhone and improving the Android platform. I think both of those are on versions 2 or 3, so it's a fairly mature application for both Android and for iPhone.
So talk about Phone 7. Obviously, you know the platform so well, and you have a familiarity with the iPhone platform. What turned you on, aside from the fact that you're already a Silverlight developer, but overall as a Windows Phone 7 platform compared to other mobile platforms that you're familiar with, what's the one or two distinguishing factors that you think that you like yourself, or that the Windows 7 platform brings to the table?
Well, for starters, it was a couple of really big items. The first one is the .NET libraries. I can bring stuff in. So when we're thinking about doing Shop Savvy, it's okay. Well, let me take a day, and we start a new project, and I start up a web client, and we go to our API and get some stuff, and that was extremely fast. It was. In the time that we'd normally build a prototype, we had real application data running in our Shop Savvy project. That was the first thing. It's just very, very simple web services API calls.
So you're using the reusability factor, the fact that it's based on .NET,
right.
was a thing for you guys.
Yeah, the fact that it's based on .NET means that I'm not moving to anything new. I'm not having to relearn anything that I've known before. And the fact that there's about a million tutorials online on how to do such and such a thing in Silverlight. Well, those tutorials move directly over to Windows Phone 7. So you have a question, you've already got kind of a base of help in things like Stack Overflow or just people's blogs.
Okay, that makes sense. So let's go a little bit into then Shop Savvy, the main product.
Right.
To talk about Shop Savvy. What does it do?
Shop Savvy allows people to grab a product, take a picture of the barcode, or enter the barcode in, and then it will go out to the server, come back with a bunch of information of, well, you can find this product for such and such a price online, and then you can go directly to the website that's selling it for that price, or it'll tell you in the local area if you don't want to wait for shipping, you can go to these retailers, and they will all have the product, and it sells for this much at this store and this much at that store.
Okay.
In addition to that, we pull down some online reviews, so you can get a quick glance at the application, and you can go to those reviews. Because it's on a phone, it gives you some of the extras that go along with that. the GPS will follow you and tell you, you know, where you are specifically, locally. Here are the stores, here are directions to the stores, here you can call the store, find out if it's in stock, that kind of thing.
Can you buy the product as well on...
That is future functionality in the Windows Phone. There are some options where you can do it in Android and iPhone, but I think it's in beta right now.
Okay. So talk a little bit about the user experience differences between iPhone and the Phone 7 version. What were some of the decisions you had to make, and why did you make them?
Well, the user experience is interesting because one thing we wanted to do is we wanted to make Shop Savvy a Windows Phone 7 application. We didn't want it to be the iPhone on the Windows Phone. And so we kind of had to back out and abstract.
Why is that?
A little
bit. Can you explain why?
The reason is Windows Phone 7 has such a unique user interaction paradigm. The panorama and the pivot controls allow the user to just kind of go in and scroll and browse and immediately have access to a number of different kinds of data. Taking a note from like the email application that's in Windows Phone, it's basically the pivot has a bunch of different filters that are applied, and so you don't have to go into a settings or anything and say I want to see only my unread stuff. You just swipe over, there it is. So we wanted to take that and apply it to Shop Savvy. Whereas with the iPhone, it's kind of a tree. We get to a main page and then we go forward to the web stuff and then back and then forward to the local items and then back and then forward to the reviews and then back. But with the pivot, it's you've got a pane for web and swipe pane. You've got your local stuff, swipe, reviews, back around.
So you think that's natural? I mean, it's so you're saying is it sounds like you're saying, not to put words in your mouth, but it sounds like browse is a first class action.
Yes.
In Phone 7, and you wanted to take advantage of that.
Right. Okay. Right, and that meant using the panorama or pivot in order to give the users that kind of quick access to everything that that we offer meant abstracting the user interaction a little bit out and then coming back to it from a Windows Phone perspective.
Yeah, because I mean, looking at Shop Savvy and having to play with it myself, it's very simple. And it's deceivingly simple, actually. It does a lot, but like you said, I'm just browsing from frame to frame or from view to view, rather, right. And I'm swiping instead of poking around and hunting. And I never get lost in your app. Was that intended?
Certainly. Right now, it's almost entertaining to me how much you can get out of so few views. We've got our main panorama, then we've got an item pivot, and then we move from the item pivot, which shows everything, to some sort of detail view. So if you want to look at a specific web item, you can see the detail view. You go back to the pivot. You can see one of my favorite views is if you're looking at a local view. Instead of going in and out and in and out, the local view is a pivot of all of the local views with the distance at the top. And so you can just swipe and you're just scrolling through all of your local stores one by one in order of how close they are.
Okay.
So
okay.
It's
very intuitive.
It is very intuitive. It's extremely fast and it's a very light application.
How did you find, I mean, obviously you're familiar with the iPhone user controls.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at a user control like the tab control at the bottom, which is very popular on iPhone,
Do
you automatically assume that's going to be a pano in Metro? So how do you make those decisions?
We just kind of abstract it right back out. The tab control is a good way, it's a good guiding starting point for that kind of thing, to go down to the tab control and say, okay, we've got a tab control, how does that look in the pano? But one of the things that we're trying to keep in mind is that the Windows Phone theming is very simple theming. It's black, white, and a color. And what really gives it a lot of energy, ultimately, is the content. I think that's pretty exciting because that means that whatever we're making, it's our content that people are looking at, not whatever Chrome we took however much time to make. But it does mean that we, in order to get the user really engaged in our application, we want to bring the content front and center. And so the iPhone tab brings the functionality front and center, whereas the Panorama, I think, brings a lot of more focus to the stuff that the user is interested in. And then the functionality is a way to get to more cool stuff.
This wasn't a core challenge. You didn't lose the brand. People got the brand.
Right.
You just put it. You put a Windows 7, a Phone 7 spin on it.
Right.
And it,
yeah. Now, and the most fun aspect of Windows Phone, the Windows Phone development, was when we're sitting down and the first time we sit down and we say, okay, let's abstract. Where are we going with this? What kind of design do we want? How does it fit in? When you open up a project, just open up a Windows Phone project in Visual Studio, it gives you this basic template. Using that template, we could go in and change a couple objects and then go into the sample data and just start dumping examples into the sample data. Well, at that point, we open up Blend, and the sample data is rendering right there as it would on the phone.
So you can see
and
exactly
so when we start
doing.
When we start saying, well, what about if we move this over there? Well, can we make those icons a little bit larger? What happens if we only have two of them instead of three of them per horizontally on a per screen basis? Well, that's stuff that we don't have to, I don't have to sit down and get back to somebody in 30 minutes after I've fooled around with the Photoshop file. I take my template, I say, okay, make it 150 pixels large. Boom. Everything is there. And it's not something we're gonna have to retranslate. I could actually run the application and that will be there. Only
so,
with live data.
So sample data viewing allows you to quickly prototype on an ongoing agile basis.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I would say with a lot of the stuff that we did, it's a one day prototyping and then adding sample data.
So would you consider that best practice then? How do you get around things like user controls and custom controls? Did you use any of those custom controls, user controls? Going back to Shop Savvy, do you guys use custom controls or user controls?
In iPhone, we use custom controls for nearly everything.
Really?
The interface builder is great for the standard controls, but the difficulty with that is that it's hard to stand out from a crowd if you're using exactly the same things. It feels, it works. It fits into the iPhone ecosystem, but it feels like yet another iPhone app. And so what Shop Savvy ends up doing is, in order to pack a little bit more punch, in order to give it a better feel than we feel the original iPhone controls give it, we have to end up coding our own custom controls for most of the things that we do. That takes a long time. We end up with Photoshop files that we pour over for a good long time, going back and forth, how do we feel about this, how do we feel about this, how do we feel about this? And then when we think we've got it right, we move into the custom controls. We start writing our custom controls, and we get those using the assets that we have from our Photoshop files. With Windows 7, we don't use Photoshop files. We use sample data that is exactly like our real data. And we go in and we add some text and some properties and maybe a link to a sample image that we have. And then we go over to Blend and we start changing the application, not a prototype of the application, not an example of the application.
The actual application.
It's the actual XAML that people are going to end up seeing is what we're changing.
Because you're just reskinning it at that point, right? Taking existing data and reskinning it with the facilities within Blend.
Right.
Is that one of the most powerful things that you found?
I am absolutely in love with Blend. Blend makes everything... Blend takes a user interface and makes it WYSIWYG in a way I've never seen any other UI product do. The fact that it can work with sample data and the fact that it can, the behaviors, it makes a large chunk of the process of creating the UI go very, very fast.
Right, Right. Because you see what you're, like you said, you can see what you're doing as you're doing it.
Right.
So I'm having to rerun it. We've been through that many times, right?
Right.
Change a little thing, run it in the emulator every single time, right?
Well, and that helps with when we're trying to do custom controls or custom templates or custom anything. It's right click, edit template, boom. You're in there, you edit, you come back out. And when you have sample data that's available for that, well, you're actually editing it with the sample. The sample data comes with you when you go to edit your templates. And so you're not editing in a vacuum. You're changing a UI that's there.
Last but not least, talk a little bit about your life cycle. I know you're a fan of the short life cycle and the agility of the platform. Right. Compare and contrast from what you know of the life cycle that was put into the original, or not even the original, maybe the next version of the iPhone application or the Android. Compare that to Phone 7.
From version to version. I do not have that information on how quickly iPhone versions go out. I know they spend an enormous amount of time on it, but I'd have to talk to Jake Marsh and find out how frequently they do releases. I can tell you that...
Tell me a story about how long it took you to build the Phone 7 platform.
Shop Savvy Phone 7 starts out as a call to me from Ryland Barnes, who is the chief architect behind the original Shop Savvy and the original iPhone. And has been working very closely with Jake Marsh, who owns the iPhone development now. And he came to me as a Silverlight developer and said, hey, we'd like to do this for Windows Phone 7. So the process ended up, starts out, it's not my real job. I'm working nights and weekends on it for about 2 weeks. And then we decide I should come out to Shop Savvy Big in Japan in Dallas, and we'll spend a weekend on it. And so the week before that, I spend a week working on it. And then that weekend, I head out to Dallas and work on it nonstop for about a weekend, about 3 or 4 days. And then it was mostly done. It was basically bug fixes. And so we're talking about what I think is a major application done in the equivalent of about 2 or 3 weeks. And from there, it was bug fixes, submit, are we getting bad reviews, why, go fix that, that kind of thing. And from that point, it's been, I can add a new chunk, a new feature, and test it, and get it into the, get it back into the marketplace in a week to 2 weeks if I'm working it just in the evenings, 3 or 4 hours a day.
That's great. Yeah. So I noticed you're a showcase application for Microsoft. So can you tell us what that means or what that is?
Showcase applications are applications that are going to show up in the featured list on the marketplace panorama. So it's going to be front and center. People can just see it immediately. Also, they show up in the background panorama, which is... that's one of the exciting things about Panorama is the ability to get a nice big view of things and see some engaging dynamic content.
So everybody will see your brand for a day or more and be able to check out Shop Savvy.
It's a great opportunity to kind of bring our application to the forefront and show people this is what we do, this is who we are, give it a shot.
Great. So yeah, I guess you want to go ahead and show us your app?
We just pull a barcode there. I'm going to try to hold it as steady as possible. That ought to be okay, nice and crisp. And then it takes that barcode, decodes it, sends it to the server, and we have options. Where can we buy this? We can get it for 99 cents used at half.com. Or we could run across the street to Borders or Barnes & Noble, which are actually about half a mile away, and find those. So we'll just go ahead and load the map with those on them. Uses the GPS to find out where I am, zooms to it, and as soon as we get the Bing Maps loaded up, we'll see that we are in Chicago. And there's a Borders over there where we can buy this book, 0.4 miles away. We can call the store, see if they can pull it for us. we can get directions or browse to their website or show that deal to our friends, or we could go to the Barnes & Noble. And we just have three stores nearby where we can find this this book. So back here, if we don't know what the book is like, we can see the reviews. Tapping on one of the reviews will take us to the full review online. And then if we really felt that we needed to get this book from Amazon, let's say, we could browse directly at the website. So, and it'll just pull that on up. So I'm going to back out of this since this is going to take too long. But if then we head back to our main page, we find that the item that we just scanned is now in our history. And now that it's in our history, we can go ahead and we don't have to scan it again. We can just tap there. And if we've gone somewhere else, home perhaps, we can find out where that object is close to home. So that is Shop Savvy in a nutshell.